Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, SNME Radio proudly presents, it's reigning, it's defending, it's undisputed, East Coast podcasting tag team champions of the world, Brad the Dad McKinnon, Greg Father Feltham, the Smack Daddies!
Same on my end. Okay.
Well, hello, friends. And if you've heard the East Coast twang, that must mean your Smack Daddy's got stuck doing another Saudi Arabian special. Greg, I think I've been on the network more than most of the other hosts, actually, this week.
I was going to say, they're going to have to start calling us the Saudi SmackDown Saudis specialists.
Yep. So let's start there. We're talking about the Saudi Arabian pay-per-view. Do you still have a weird feeling watching this show, or have you kind of gotten over it?
Honestly, I've kind of gotten over it.
Yeah, I was thinking about it the same way, too. I was like, the only thing that's weird about this show is the way the women dress. And even that, like, it wasn't until I like was looking at Trish Stratus, I'm like, I think this is the most clothes I've seen Trish Stratus ever wear.
That was exactly my thoughts on this too. I, as we watched that recap of Monday Night Raw, which obviously you saw live, I did not. You could see the complete dichotomy of her ring gear from one show to the next.
And then the only, yes, because you mentioned that in the super secret group chat. And the only other person, there's some people, though, I got to tell you, Becky Lynch's Kill Bill outfit, I actually like that better than her usual ring attire.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked Becky Lynch's gear. I mean, you and I have said the same thing about Jessica Carr, as we'll, I'm sure we'll say this in this one as we would in the last one. They make referee outfits or referee gear in full length arms. I know that for a fact because I bought one this week. Not for me. My son is going to start refereeing hockey. So just give her the damn full length armed outfit so she doesn't have to wear the black under top and make it look like there's nothing wrong or there's nothing different.
Yeah, I mean, most of the, like, I wouldn't have, if you would have said something about Zoe Stark or there's a couple other wrestlers too, like Asuka's, Bianca's, like, most of the, they've got it down now where the women's gear looks like the women's gear, no matter where they're wrestling.
Yep, I would 100% agree with that.
So other than that, and the fact that the crowd was actually really good tonight, and that is something that always makes these overseas shows special, whether it's in Puerto Rico, the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, which will be next, or this. They are always special experiences. So we last night did some picks, and we have a gentleman's wager, and you gave me the tiebreaker, and I lost track of what I picked, and I knew that was going to happen. So I thought for your amusement and for the amusement of the listeners, you can tell us, I'll say the match, and then you say who picked whom, and then we'll go through the match. Or do you want to do it at the end and say which one of us picked what? Because some people probably haven't listened to our other podcast.
Let's leave it for the end and let's do that at the very end of the show. Because because where we have that tiebreaker in play, the tiebreaker was early in the pay-per-view, that may very well sway potentially the outcome.
Okay. So we started off with one of our main events, Greg. I'm shocked. Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles was our first match of the night.
And you're shocked here because this wasn't the Brock Lesnar spot?
Yes. And I feel for everybody who went after them because they, on pure in-ring skill alone, had the match of the night.
I would agree. I was also shocked that Brock wasn't on a flight the heck out of Saudi Arabia and home in Winnipeg by supper time or home in Manitoba by supper time tonight. But alas, here we are, or at least by bedtime anyway. This was a surprising placement, but I think was a great start to the show and a great setting to the show.
Yeah, the crowd was hot for AJ. They sang along with Seth on his way down. And the story of this match was, is Seth Rollins focused? Is he thinking about Hollywood? Is he dialed in on AJ? And these guys put on a clinic. So AJ takes his a classic slide into the turnbuckle. And if you have never seen this before, it's when AJ goes in and attacks somebody in the turnbuckle and he gets grabbed and he goes headfirst into the middle turnbuckle. It's a classic AJ move. Early on, AJ is taking the brunt of the offense, and he catches Seth Rollins with a suplex to the back of his head, where he basically clips the corner, one of the corners into the corner. And it was nasty.
Yeah.
They slowly build to AJ hitting his moonsault off the top ropes into a reverse DDT. Like, the guys are pulling out their like A stuff for this, including Rollins hitting the buckle bomb and then hits a frog splash for a two, Greg. Like, they're just flying around the ring. Rollins then hits and it. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I still get nervous every time you see that buckle bomb get carted out here.
Oh, and then when they do the reverse suplex into a reverse, like an elevated reverse DDT, where he kind of like does a little spin with it.
Yeah.
Off top ropes, you know, no big deal. You can start seeing Seth's got a welt on his back. AJ's looks like he's hurting. Eventually, we get a counter to the phenomenal forearm. When Seth dives to the outside, I don't know if, does he bang up his knee legitimately, or is he just kind of hobbling for the bit in the match?
I think he was hobbling for a bit in the match here.
Okay, so legit injury or just something so that we could get to the calf crusher?
I think to get to the calf crusher.
Yeah, and that was it. And then at one point, AJ hits a pedigree, but that's only for two. He tries for another phenomenal forearm, but Seth kicks him, super kicks him with the bad leg and counters. The story of this match was that the phenomenal forearm was countered a few times. We had stomps missed. At this point, Rollins' knee's killing him. He goes for the stomp and he gives out, but he eventually recovers, pedigree stomp, and he wins. And he gets the full treatment of winning the world title, including reenacting his universal title win, where Triple H comes in, gives him the title, and puts it around his waist. Wow. Yeah. Like, it was off. This was match of the night. And if you look at the next, you know, we got two more pay-per-views tomorrow night. A PLE and a pay-per-view.
Right.
Like, is anybody going to out-wrestle these two?
Probably not. This went 20 minutes and 40 seconds, second longest runtime on this show. And I think it deserved it.
Yeah, and there's a ton of recaps here. I could throw in a bunch of recap sound effects because it was one before every match, but it's PLE. So I'm not doing that, Greg, because these are not like unknown, they're coming recaps. These are things that happen. But
right.
That was the coolest part of the show was the Mustafa Ali like video diary thing they did in this spot where they show him arriving here, how moved he is to perform here, how much of a, you know, his journey, his spiritual journey as a practicing Muslim, being able to perform here during Ramadan, like the experience of that. And you like at that point, you're like, oh, they're going to squash him in 34 seconds.
Yeah. And one thing we didn't talk about last night, and I know it's not here, but one thing that did go out on Sammy's social media and WWE social media is Sammy's pilgrimage to the Middle East. And that was highly publicized there, including, I believe, was a trip to Mecca.
Yep. And that
to me, I'm not 100% sure. I'm no expert in any of this, but Sammy seemed genuinely elated to be able to finally make this trek.
Well, and then when Mustafa Ali's talking about performing during Ramadan and the honor that is, and this will be one of the great honors of his life, you're like, why are we not just like, even if you're giving it back to Gunther on Monday, who cares? Like, I know they want these long reigns, but yeah, this just would have been too good of a feel good story. I mean, what are we going to do? Like, beat Sami Zayn in Montreal? The other thing I loved about this was at one point Mustafa Ali is wearing his 205 tracksuit. Okay, match number two of the night, Gunther versus Mustafa Ali. I think I called him Muhammad Ali a second ago. Mustafa Ali. He came out with the turban. He's awesome.
You missed the Trish match. Trish and Becky is next.
Oh, sorry. I skipped over Trish and Becky. You're right.
Yeah. Okay.
I got so excited about the Mustafa Ali stuff, and I was like, nope, scroll down too far on my notes. So okay, match two. Cool. Match two was you're right, because the video package was just before his match, but okay. Sorry, everybody. Right. I'm actually going to cut that out, Greg, and I will make some work for myself. And you know what? Screw it. I'm leaving it in. Whatever. It's Saturday night. I should have been having a beer by now. Apparently, that would have made this podcast better.
Do you want to stop and go get one?
No, it's okay. Match number two is Trish and Becky. We already talked about their gear. Trish is wearing more clothes than ever. Becky's wearing a way cooler outfit than ever. The story of this match is Trish Stratus is smarter than Becky Lynch. She is outsmarting her with veteran maneuvers.
Didn't you love the thank you, Trish, on the back of Trish's gear? That was amazing.
The crowd chanted thank you, Trish, during this match.
I'm sorry. Like, I was 100% behind Trish in this match. And I love me some Becky Lynch. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, Trish is the wily veteran here. So...
And that's the story of this match. Becky came out angry because she made fun of her daughter, and Trish kept taking shortcuts. She kept throwing her into steel steps. She ended up throwing her into a corner. Trish worked her over with, I would say a rest hold, but really the way Trish was applying them, you could tell that she was grinding. It was like Gunther. Like, Gunther doesn't put on rest holds. He puts on submissions. Trish had submissions during this match, and she made up for her age and her lack of cardio by wrestling a smart style of match.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually, Trish is in a sharpshooter, and she escapes by like crawling to the ropes. And when she gets up to the outside again, she throws Becky into the corner. Trish gets her back in the ring. She's waiting for Becky to come in. Becky eats some chick kicks. We're getting near the end of the match. Becky starts hitting some offense. She has the advantage. Then she's on the outside when Zoe Stark comes out of the ring and hits a Z360 right in Becky's nose. Becky gets thrown back in. Trish hits another chick kick, and that's it. So they didn't show much of Becky after this match. Her nose is destroyed, though. We saw the couple of shots we saw, she was bloody as hell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was. Yeah, that's broken.
So I think it was Uncle Bobby B. Apologies to whoever, but on not our my Raw review this week, but before the Draw Straw Raw review from I think a week or two ago, the first time they were talking about this Z360, somebody cleverly said there's gonna be a high chance that she's gonna break a nose.
Well, we got it today,
and of course that means Becky gets another shirt full of blood.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, I mean, are we going to get to the Dr. Britt Baker DMD level shirt with blood? I doubt it, from WWE.
So I was going to do something with these, and now it's all coming back to me, Greg. So when we talk about these matches, let's do our usual thing where we talk about, if somebody's going back and watching this, and because they were out this afternoon, is it keep a cut or... can you skim through it with the fast forward button? So let's start with the first match. Would you keep that first match, cut it, or superstar it?
Yeah, I would keep, actually, I'm going to say both of these matches. I enjoyed the storytelling. I enjoyed the wrestling in the Seth Rollins, AJ Styles match, but I enjoyed the storytelling in the Trish Stratus, Becky Lynch match.
Oh, it was very well done. And then you know what? Maybe that is the story of this pay-per-view, because each of these matches had great stories. So I gushed over the Mustafa Ali stuff. We even got a little recap in there to explain how we got into this match. Greg, Gunther had those banners, CGI banners. Did you catch them? He had red CGI banners at the side of his face looking outward.
No, I did not catch them. I forgot to say that the Trish and Becky match was 14 minutes and 50 seconds.
We're just all over the place tonight. All right. So while I'm going to go through this match, do yourself a favor. Go Gunther CGI banners and look at them, and I'll get your reaction in a second. Okay. So early in this match, Ali's using his quicks to avoid Gunther. But when Gunther catches him, he just chops him right out of his boots. Gunther then puts on a submission hold. I won't call it a rest hold. Ali gets one big maneuver off and tries to hit a springboard, but he gets caught again. Eventually, he gets a 450 and he gets two. But Gunther gets back on offense. He's holding Ali by the arm and pulling him back up and chopping him down and holding him up and chopping him down. Eventually, he thinks he has Ali, and Ali won't stay down. So Gunther gets angry, and that makes him make a mistake. Ali catches him again, and this time he does his cool spinning DDT off the ropes. He's already hit that cool diving through the middle rope neckbreaker. Ali's got some fluid moves. And looks like he's going to hit into 450 again, but he rolls through. And this time, clothesline powerbomb, and Gunther wins. I'm not surprised Gunther wins because it's Gunther, and I think he's going for the honky-tonk record. On the other hand, did we miss an opportunity to make a babyface tonight?
Did we miss an opportunity to make a babyface tonight? I don't think so. I'm assuming you're talking here about Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, not Gunther, because I mean Gunther's not going to ever be a babyface. Did you find the images online, or will you have to?
I had to search a little bit for it, but yeah, I can see these Nazi-inspired flags.
I know, that's the first thing I saw them. I was like, these are a little too on the nose.
Well, I mean, they used Auschwitz in the last PLE, so...
Oh, that was Mania. No, we went to Puerto Rico. We didn't do anything naughty in Puerto Rico.
Sorry, right, I forgot Puerto Rico. Yeah.
All right, so we are enjoying, like, so this match, keep, cut, superstar.
I think this match you could probably trim down a bit in superstar. It was pretty one-sided, besides for a couple of hope spots from Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, there's nothing bad about this match. And if you really like wrestling and you're just looking to fill some time, it's a great match. It's just not, it's not necessary. Okay, in the back, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are there. Sami's talking about how excited he is to be here and the run they've been on. And even if this ended today, and Kevin Owens cuts him off and says, what do you mean if it ends today? I mean, I get it. It's the 1,000-day reign of him, but he's going to lose. He has screwed us both over. And so Sammy's being practical. Like, he screwed us both over. We've lost before to this guy. And he said he can have his day, but today is our day. And I love the confidence coming from Kevin Owen. Like, don't get it twisted. This is great. However, we're not done yet.
Yep. No, absolutely. And guess what? I forgot to tell you how long that Gunther Mustafa Ali match was. 8:35. And now we're going to talk about Asuka and Bianca. I'm going to get this in now. 15 minutes this match was.
Yeah, and it was a good 15-minute match. I mean, the story of this match is that Asuka is unleashed and vicious. And she is attacking a body part. She's going after the arm. She is a submission master. And she just works over Bianca for the whole match with this aggressive style. I love when she goes to spit the mist and it misses everybody.
Yes.
Like, very great spot. And then we saw something we've never seen before. So Asuka's been caught by Bianca. And Bianca's got her. And so Asuka blows the mist. I'm like pantomiming for Greg. Blows the mist onto her fingers, which are all taped up. And when she gets caught in on the shoulders of Bianca Belair, she takes her hand and rubs it in the eyes behind the referee, which blinds her. And then Asuka blasts her with a kick and a series of kicks. And that's it. Asuka wins, getting out of the KOD, and ends the over year-long reign of Bianca Belair. You called this one, Greg. This is the only one I know that you picked and I didn't.
Yeah, this one was something. It was a innovative use of the mist, as you mentioned. I enjoyed this match. I'm sorry. I could sit back. It scares me to say this about a Bianca Belair match, but maybe it's because Asuka was in it. But I could have enjoyed this match to be even longer.
Yeah, it wasn't. So I would see. So you're going to keep this match?
100%.
Yeah, see, I could have superstarred it. My issue is I still think Bianca is very formulaic, and I find it hard when I'm really waiting for her heel run because I think she would be a great heel. Now, my question to you is, she just won the Raw Women's Championship, correct?
Yes.
Asuka's on SmackDown.
Asuka's on SmackDown, yes.
So we still have this weird thing where the SmackDown Women's Championship's on Raw and the Raw's Women's Championship's on SmackDown.
Sure.
Does it matter?
No, not at all.
Okay, Scarlett and Karrion Kross are in the crowd. This is my favorite appearance of Karrion Kross in a very long time.
Honest to God, I didn't even notice because I think I stepped away during this.
Well, if you went to the bathroom for too long, if you left the room for as long as a Roman Reigns entrance, you would have missed the next match. How long was this match? I'm going to say 45 seconds.
A minute 10.
Rhea Ripley crushes Natalya. I don't think Natalya gets a single bit of offense. The entrances were longer. They talked about Natty's bond and how she just wanted to make a good showing, and she did not get a good showing. She got thrown into the steps and riptied into oblivion.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Natty.
Yeah, I had a way better birthday than Natty did this week.
You did indeed, my friend. You did indeed. You had to watch Raw.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? It's my birthday all month, apparently, because I'm watching two more.
That you are, my friend. That you are.
Seth Rollins is in the back with his championship title, and he is... Oh, wait. We forgot our gimmick again. Okay. Keep cut, superstar.
This match can 100% be cut.
Yeah. And you can't superstar because there would be nothing to it.
What would there have been left in us? This is superstar. WWE did this for us.
Well, and it was good to break up the pace of the show, because if not, we would have been way after 5 o'clock. So yeah. Match number 5 is Cody versus Brock. I feel like I'm skipping a match, Greg.
Well, that's because the last match was so short, but no. We talked about Rollins and Styles. We talked about Trish and Becky. We talked about Gunther. We talked about Asuka. So we talked about Rhea and Natty. So yeah, it's Brock and then the tags.
Wow. All right. Well, okay. So I don't have a lot of notes for this match, because this match was essentially the passion of the Cody.
Yeah. 9 minutes and 40 seconds this match was. This is the Cowboy Bob Orton Cody Rhodes. Cowboy Cody Rhodes, I think you can call this match.
And he has like a titanium cast, they're explaining, which is protecting his broken wrist. And basically Brock gets his hands on him, starts trying to work over the arm. He dominates Cody off the start. Every time Cody tries to like land from a fall, he's using that arm. He's injuring the arm. But he realizes he can use this arm as a weapon. So he hits him in the head with his broken arm and then hits him with a flying forearm with his broken arm. The titanium cast is a deadly weapon. Bob Orton is somewhere smiling. Randy Orton is like, dad, check. Watch this. My former trainee took your gimmick. He took your gimmick, dad. Anyways, eventually Cody gets put into another Kimura lock. He struggles to the thing. He will not surrender. But Corey Graves is like, you know, you think about your career. He gets the ropes. He breaks it. Then Brock sets him up an F5. He gets out of that with that. He hits a crossroads. Brock kicks out. But once Brock gets that third Kimura lock on, he holds and he holds. And the valiant Cody Rhodes passes out from the pain. Brock Lesnar wins by submission. Not a surprise.
No. No. No, I'm hopeful at this point that the Brock Cody storyline now goes away.
At least for a while, because it should, but I have a bad feeling this is SummerSlam.
Greg, that is distinctly possible, and that is kind of sad. But yeah,
Was it you or Boris? I think it was you last night called it. Maybe it was Boris on Monday. Either one of you was really, one of my tag partners this week was really smart. Simple, effective booking will be that Cody goes into the PLE at the next show. He climbs the ladder and then he's about halfway up and then he gets thrown off and it's Brock and they go to SummerSlam.
That was not me. So that must have been Boris. So yeah, that is probably something very valid. Smart idea.
Yeah. Gets Cody on the show, gets Brock on the show, gets Brock a thing, gets Cody a match at SummerSlam, blah, 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 blah. But it's not. Oh boy, like I don't need to see. I listen, it's not bad. This was not a bad match. And to the guy's credit, they told a great story and nobody did anything stupid.
Yeah, no, they did not. It was like 8 minutes. No, sorry, 9 minutes and 40 seconds, and it was fine. I mean, I think it probably could have gone longer, but this was what you expected it to be, a bit of a, you know, Brock hulking up through this. So,
is this a keep, a cut, or a superstar special?
Honestly, I don't think this needed to be on the show.
Ooh, yeah, I would superstar because I don't think you need. You could watch the recap on Monday. I'll be very interested to see the recap on Monday, how they play off Cody and where they go with Cody for the next month with his broken arm.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be magically healed.
4 weeks. He got miraculous recovery powers. He's got that John Cena gene.
Yeah, so I mean, he can cowboy it up for the next 4+ weeks. I hope. I would love to see them do the gimmick now, redo the cowboy Bob Orton gimmick that the damn thing never gets well.
Or the other option, he super heals, and the way he does it is we have he gets a transfusion of John Cena blood.
Well, if you did, you wouldn't see it, so it'll be fine.
Oh my gosh, there we go. That's the picture. Somebody make it. It's Cody sitting with a transfusion that where the line goes to nowhere, and it's like he must be getting a transfusion from John Cena.
Yeah.
Okay, our main event tonight is Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Which main event is this? Because we have three, apparently, including one to start the show.
Yeah, and so our actual main event is... Roman Reigns celebrating his 1,000th day as champion, teaming with his cousin Solo Sikoa against Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships.
Okay, was it weird to just me that half the time they called him Solo, half the time they called him Sikoa, and half the time they called him Solo Sikoa? Like, they couldn't figure out what they were calling this guy tonight.
At least they didn't call him the SS.
No, that apparently is being saved for other wrestlers.
So before the match, we get an awesome entrance, awesome introduction by Paul Heyman. And then afterwards, you can hear him off mic yelling, "That's how it's done." And then Sammy grabs the mic and does an entrance and an introduction that gets the crowd into this match. And very well done. You could tell that meant a lot to Sammy, being able to do that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So, I mean, I'm guessing he spoke in Arabic. And this, obviously, on the heels of his Quebec show, where he did his promo in French. And they just had the Puerto Rico show, where Spanish was used as for part of the promo. So, I'm liking this local flair again. I will say what I said last time. It would be great if WWE could real-time translate this and put it in closed caption for on the services.
Or even if you just have somebody in Michael Cole's ear saying, what Sammy just said was da-da-da-da.
Yeah, that would have been fine as well. It was kind of humorous as I watched this that we saw this whole thing kind of lay out and set up for this match. And I was really hoping that Kevin Owens was going to come up, pick up the mic after Sammy spoke and said, yeah, what he said.
Yeah, it was hilarious. So I will let you in. So this is a New Japan thing. I know you're not a regular New Japan viewer, but what they have on as either a third man or a color guy on both the Japanese and the English translations. So when, like, if we were here and you were speaking Japanese, I was speaking English, if I cut a promo, the commentators if I cut it in English on the Japanese side, the commentators would translate and say, oh, what he said was. And then on the English side, if you have a guy doing a Japanese promo, it works really well. And that's what you're asking for. And it's not hard. Like, when you think about how many Spanish speakers are on the roster, somebody could have been back there. There's Mustafa Ali's hanging out in the back. He could have just thrown on a set of headset and said, hey, Michael Cole, here's what he said.
Yeah. Yeah, could have easily had him in Gorilla after his match and said, okay, here's the translation. All right, I'm going for a shower.
Yeah, there's all kinds of, there's got to be somebody. Translators exist in the world, folks. Anyways, that's a small nit to pick, but this was a great match. Sami Zayn and Kevin have the advantage off the top. Eventually, Roman distracts Sammy, Solo goes on offense, and they beat down Sammy. And it's, okay, Greg, is there a better babyface in peril in WWE than Sami Zayn? Actually, in wrestling, there are very few people who sell babyface in peril like Sami Zayn. And when he finally makes the hot tag, the crowd explodes. And Solo tags in Roman, and so you have Roman and Kevin. You have Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens just throwing at each other. Eventually, Kevin hits him with the stunner, but Roman, out of a reaction, bounces off the ropes and hits just an incredible spear. And the two guys are down. And it's like they set up another hot tag. So that that is my favorite part about this match, is that we got two hot tags. Because Sammy gets a hot tag as well from Kevin, and he goes wild. And it's, we get to another stalemate. This is the part of the match where everybody's down. And I did not, honestly, Greg, I did not see this being the outcome, where we have the Usos jump in after, sorry, let me set the stage properly. Eventually, we have a spear given to the referee. He's out. And we don't see that ref for the rest of the match. But all the competitors are down in the ring, and the Usos jump in to try and save the bloodline. They're wiping out Kevin and Sammy. And then they're in the ring, and it looks like they're about to super kick Sami Zayn into oblivion. And instead, he ducks, and they super kick Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa. They super kick him, Greg, right in his face. Out of all the people for them to super kick, that I did not see.
You could tell that was coming, though, the way Solo was trying to get to his feet. And okay, I loved it.
Not in the moment. Once I saw it setting up, I could see it. But like when you told me the Usos started interfering, I was like, uh-oh. Like, are the Usos going to screw the mode of the titles? Or are the Usos going to screw it up? Like, I thought they were going to super kick Roman by accident. And he was going to be taken out of the picture, and Solo, and it was going to freak out on them or something. But or the babyface to take advantage. But I did not see, once they took Solo down, then it went to another level, because then we had the bloodline, as the bloodline turns drama, kick in right there. We basically get this melodrama play out where we have Roman coming in and he's all upset. How could you do this? How could you kick them? And he starts pushing Jimmy. And finally, Jimmy snaps and he just super kicks Roman into oblivion. Roman's down and Jay's freaking out. And you can hear Jimmy off mic saying, this is what you should have done months ago. This is what we should have done. And he kicks him again. And then he says, I'm your brother. I'm the one you're with. And, you know, Jay never touches Roman, but Jimmy just wears him out with super kicks. Eventually, Jimmy, like, Roman's out on the outside. Jay wants to go check on Roman. Jimmy just drags him away, and poor Solo crawls to his feet. He eats a stunner and a haluva kick, and a second ref comes finally sprinting in. And yeah, that's the match.
After the fans had counted the first three, referee comes sprinting into the final three, 1, 2, 3, and the champions retain. That match was 26 minutes and 25 seconds. And honestly, I don't think I would have changed a thing in that match. As much as I hate the Roman Reigns ref bump, this is a match it made sense in.
So you genuinely were done with this storyline when we talked about this last night. And today, are you in, are you out, or are you just happy that this is progressing?
I'm happy that it's almost over.
Yeah, because this has got to be the end of the bloodline.
Well, we'll see what Friday night brings us when we have the 1,000-day celebration.
Are the Usos going to celebration?
I don't know, but I think it's going to make for some interesting TV on Friday night. So we'll have to wait and see.
Wow. And we have the big cliffhanger for next Friday night, which will be great for our podcast and hopefully our viewing. But overall, I got to tell you, first of all, maybe it's just because we watch this in the middle of the afternoon, Greg, this is a thumbs up show.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, you probably could have cut the Rhea Ripley and Natty match and maybe, you know, trimmed a little bit of the other ones, maybe. But I think overall, I would say 100% thumbs up.
Yeah, I would. The Natty match served its purpose on this. I think for the most part, you could trim things here and there. But if you're watching this, if you didn't watch this, I don't know why you have the network. It's the best. And if you happen to be listening to us first, go back and watch the whole thing. There'll be parts you might go, this is okay. But this was I said to you off mic that I was like, it was okay. It dragged a little bit for me in the middle. But yeah, that last match sucked me in. And I'm like, I'm excited to review Raw this week. And that, I never think those words are coming out of my mouth.
All right. Well, do you want to go over our gentleman's wager for a beer that we did last Friday? Last night, I guess, like 18 hours ago or something silly.
Okay. So let's start from, we're going to go through the way the matches showed tonight.
No, I'm going to go through the way we picked. So okay. I started first, and I picked in the Natty Rhea match for Rhea to win.
So that's a point Rhea for Greg.
Did win, and point for Greg. Then you picked in the Mustafa Ali Gunther match that Gunther would win. That's a point for you, Brad.
So 1-1.
1-1 so far. Then we had the Bianca and Asuka match, and I picked Asuka. So 0.2 for Greg, 2-1 yep. for Greg. In the Cody Brock match, Brad, you picked Brock Lesnar. Tied again, 2-2.
Okay.
All right. So then we went for, with my last pick in the AJ Styles and Seth Rollins match, I picked Seth Rollins. 3 points for Greg.
And you. Wait, and Boris lost his hat bet.
And Boris lost his hat bet. Yeah. So Boris owes a hat to Michael Vincent, I believe.
Yep. Okay. Right. And I know, I think the next one I picked right.
The next one was Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Bloodline, and you picked Kevin and Sami to retain.
Wait, so this is hilarious, because then the pick I made was wrong, and that's what allowed you to win.
Then we had the tiebreaker, because I said, hey, listen, there's 7 matches here. I'll let you pick first because it's your birthday this week. And no one really wanted the Trish Becky match. You picked Becky, and I was left with Trish. Trish with the win and the tiebreaker. I managed to pull out this win.
Wow. This is okay. I'm waiting for Sean Burkett to yell at because we're stealing his Churchill Cup gimmick, but. It's not a cup we get, Sean. It's just a beer. So yeah, I owe you a beer next time we're out. So there you go. That's it. That is the night, folks. We enjoyed this PLE. We hope that you enjoyed this podcast. And yeah, there is a ton on the network this weekend. You're going to get the main show. And if you happen to be a patron, because I think this is, I don't know if this is going out exclusively patrons or not, but if it is, thank you for being a patron. If it's not, patreon.com/SNME Radio. For $1 a week, you get tons of podcasts, including the main show, which has an extended edition with some special guests. Fingers crossed that comes through for Boris tomorrow. And then Boris and Matt will be back tomorrow night at, I don't know, they'll be back technically Sunday morning doing an after show for the AEW show. And then you get bonus coverage on Monday, where we'll talk a little bit about the NXT pay-per-view, which is airing head-to-head tomorrow. You're going to get a Raw review with yours truly, Draw Straw Raw, on Monday. You'll get an NXT review with Steve Swift, AEW 3D. You're going to get a ton of podcasts, including our new Impact podcast, which I saw today.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but excited to do that.
So if you like wrestling, we cover everything. And if there's anything that's off on the side, Boris and Matt get it with Bam. Plus you get... You know, you get some music reviews, you get pop culture reviews, you get everything. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. Thank you for being part of the family. You guys keep the lights on, you pay the bills so that the servers can work, and amazing things ahead for SNME in the months to come. Greg, I will leave you with the final word.
Well, I think you said it all. A great day of champions, as you know, it's still daylight out here. So with that, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day weekend for our American listeners, and, you know, your first post-Victoria Day weekend. We finally have nice weather here in Nova Scotia. It was 27 degrees today, so I'm going to go and barbecue and have some supper now. So... Everyone have a good rest of your day, and we'll be watching some Double or Nothing tomorrow and some NXT tomorrow night. So lots to catch up on over the next couple of days.
Be the ones.